Blog Talk Radio.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
The cost of something I would be. I know your anger, I know your dreams. I've been everything you wanna be. Oh, I'm the cost of something I.
What up, giblets? The one, the only, Brian Rails, B-Train, who the fuck else? I have noticed a lot of things since the year 2016, actually since 2015. The inclusion of NXT superstars going onto the main roster, is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Well, as you can tell by the title, NXT success runneth over in a good way. And also, I'll be talking to you later on today, Revolver equals a freaking amazing. But why is it that NXT guys and gals are making their wavelengths onto the main roster? What is it about NXT that makes it so appealing to the viewer, the natural-born viewer of wrestling? For those of you who have not caught on to NXT, you can do so by going directly to WWE.com, going to the network. It's $9.99 per month. Your first month, however, is free, so you can get as much content as you can. And if you like it, subscribe for $9.99 a month. You can get your preloaded card at $29.97 at your local GameStops, Dollar Generals, Best Buy, 7-Elevens, and let's see here, what else? Oh, yeah, Dollar Generals, Best Buy's, Walmart, 7-Elevens. Why is it worth it? Not just NXT. You can get ROH, TNA. You can get Impact Wrestling. You can get PWG, CZW, and various other wrestling groups, Smoky Mountain Wrestling. But anyways, folks, back to the subject at hand. Why is NXT so special? Some may say, well, that's where the purity goes to die because then they get condensed down into what WWE wants them to be. I don't think that's necessarily the case, because if you take a look at what WWE has done the last few years with NXT, you start seeing the evolution from Kevin Steen or Kevin Owens, now as he calls himself. You see Sami Zayn, a.k.a. El Generico. Triple H must have seen something special in these guys and gals. Billy Kay, Peyton Royce, TM61, The War Machine, a.k.a. The War Raiders. You see something special in how they evolve as they go along in NXT. You see which ones can stay within the system and make something happen. Staying within the system is not easy in pro wrestling. However, you know, you come out with a unique gimmick, but then you fall right into place. Been done everywhere. You fall in the line. You fall in the line of, okay, if I do this, if I do everything correctly, I show up on time, I don't have any controversy while I'm here in NXT, then you evolve yourself as you go on the main roster and make a name for yourself, or you fall into the shuffle. It's so amazing to see these guys and gals. Asuka, you know, you see her, and obviously she had a very good run on NXT. She was a champion since 2016. The only time she ever gave it up, folks, is when she got hurt against Ember Moon, a NXT TakeOver in Brooklyn. I was there for that match, by the way. You see matches like Bayley versus Sasha. You see matches like Sanity versus the Authors of Pain. Not just those matches, but Tyler Bate, Pete Dunne. NXT always manages to do a stellar job of producing not just quality matches, but matches that make you want to watch it over and over and over again. And some of you are saying, well, that's what I get it when I go see ROH. Case in point, you know, like I said yesterday, if you're an elitist, you're missing the point of being a wrestling fan, and that's fine. You know, be whatever you want to be. I'm not going to control you. I'm not going to sit and yell in your face. although that's very, very tempting offer, my friend. I've been on your show before, and no offense, it's a really good show, but Power Perception Podcast, ladies and gentlemen, the podcast that had a lot of errors and a lot of technical difficulties while I was trying to get on there. As they told me I was supposed to be on their show, and I'm going to just let you know right now, it was probably a lot of miscommunication, and I don't know if you ever want me again, but anyways, to the subject, NXT being a success and it, you know, being so popular to the point where the network kind of lags a little bit. Is it because someone else is logged in? No. It's because Triple H is doing a fantastic job with not just the booking, but the presentation as well. Because you could have perfect booking on paper, but if it's not presented to fans, to certain fans to a T, then all things are lost. And the way things are going right now for NXT, you take a look at, okay, some of you are telling me that they're just the big leagues for independence, and that's where their purity goes to die. I'm going to disagree with that. Tyler from Louisville, Kentucky has stated they are so great and they're not confined and they're not restricted. Well, when you get to a certain company and you want to move up, I hate to say it, my friend, you've got to work within the system. Some people who work outside the system get very fortunate and good things happen for them, bad things happen for them. Obviously, an example of that was CM Punk. A little bit of that was EC3. Made a lot of adjustments, and he came back. So obviously he left on good terms, and he is back in NXT trying to make a name for himself. I guarantee you he's probably going to end up on the main roster here pretty soon. I would say give it 1 to 2 years. You know, it just depends on what you're trying to port, you know, trying to look at here. I mean, obviously NXT is a big deal. But here's the thing. I've watched NXT religiously since 2009. Can tell you it's evolved from when it used to have guys coming in like Kenta or guys that tried out, like, okay, Kenny Omega did try out for WWE a long time ago, but the dude's been wrestling since he was 18. Could it be possible that Omega might be headed to NXT? I don't know. Like, there's a lot of good things going on for NXT right now. Like, the champion, Aleister Black, a.k.a., if you want to go get technical here, it's Tommy End. The envelope, they give the fans stuff that you don't see on Main, and then when they get to Main, yes, okay, some of you are saying Samoa Joe is an example of a condensed superstar. What do you mean by condensed? Like, I'm curious, folks. What do you mean by this guy is condensed and we don't really like the way he's being condensed? Can someone please elaborate on that for me? Because I'm not quite understanding the word condensed when it refers to professional wrestling. Can someone elaborate? I'll just look up the definition right now that I got my computer up and running. So hold that thought, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to look up the word condensed. Not to say that that's completely fucking boring, but we're going to pause 10 seconds for station identification right here on Off the Rails, Uncensored. Condensed meaning made denser, more concise, compressed, or concentrated. So I don't think that Samoa Joe is a solid, ladies and gentlemen. Ever since he came out of NXT, I mean, look, working within the system meaning know your strengths in the company, know your weaknesses. Yes, he's not a Roman Reigns fan by any means, but Samoa Joe did point out during the promo to AJ Styles, you should be focused on the match at hand because you don't know if I'm coming for your ass. I fucking love this invasion by NXT. Do you know why? because guys like Samoa Joe, gals like Billy Kay and Peyton Royce, they said they would make the title disappear in their very first night of SmackDown Live, and boy, did they ever. I mean, look, they do remind me a bit of Lay Cool, and they do remind me a bit of certain women that have come before. Oh, yes, the Bella Twins. However, each gimmick is different that comes out of NXT. Look at Asuka. Not just her is a perfect example. Look at Ember Moon. That I was not a big fan of because she seemed a bit boring until, you know, the feud with Shayna Baszler came about. Both of those two, I mean, look. Ember Moon, there's no denying the charisma. There's no denying the gimmick is there. She's definitely one of a kind. The contacts that she wears in her eyes when she comes out, that very eerie, that subtle, amazing theme that builds and builds and builds. There's no denying that NXT, as a whole, is evolving itself. Sure, you're running thin with Tommaso Ciampa and Aleister Black, and Andrade Cien Almas has yet to make an appearance on SmackDown Live, but I like those two, the pairing of Zelina Vega and Andrade Cien Almas, because it fits. It fucking fits. It's like Sherry and Macho Man. It's like Melina and Joey, not Joey Mercury, Melina and Johnny Nitro. I mean, just look at what NXT has done, folks. It's proven time and time again that you don't need a guy that shows up part-time. And yes, that was a direct shot at Brock Lesnar because, yeah, people talk about him, folks, but in a negative way. Not ever. Yes, he does suplexes, but, okay, belly to back, German. But in NXT, you see guys and gals doing Spanish fly, suicide dives. Lars Sullivan is a monster. I mean, I almost would say he's a blend of Gene Snitsky and Kane and a bit of Sid Vicious. He's just so big. I mean, you got the North American title going now. That's kind of like NXT's version of the Intercontinental title or the European Championship. It's a brand, the black and yellow brand for WWE is doing their fucking job. Doing their job as in their heels and baby faces are relating to the audience, which is your number one thing. You want to relate to your audience and make sure you do just enough to keep them coming back, right? No, NXT goes above and beyond that moniker. They go above and beyond the, let's just please the fans because, well, we have to. No. They have given the fans something to cheer about, jeer about. Aleister Black, Tommaso Ciampa, who's next? You know, Sanity got called up to SmackDown Live. I wonder if they got sent back. I don't know. But Nikki Cross, you've got Dakota Kai now from the Mae Young Classic. You've got Lacey Evans, your cookie cutters. Of course, you know Bianca Belair needs work. But other than that, look at what's going on in the positive light. You got so many people saying to me, well, B-Train, what do you think of this person, that person? Well, I give them fair shake. I let them be in the division, whether it's women's or men's, and I judge them, okay, are you mastering your craft? Are you honing your craft? Or are you going to end up like Big Cass with no direction? He doesn't really pull a crowd in the sense of, boo, you're terrible. Yeah, boo, you are terrible. My friend and I were just playing on our phones. It's fucking terrible. He came from NXT, but I hate to say this. As much as I love that little rat that exited WWE because he didn't let them know that he was having a conflict with a woman who supposedly got raped or, you know, forcibly molested by Enzo Amore, what I'm saying to you all is there's a breaking point with certain characters when they come out of NXT. Heath Slater, you know, he's done phenomenal. Okay, what, Jinder Mahal, Daivari, the Daivari brothers, Sean and Arya. It depends on how you look at situation. Granted, there's a lot of biggins that are coming out. If you saw them in the Greatest Royal Rumble at Saudi Arabia, some of them should go through NXT, in my humble opinion, because they would benefit from learning and also going through the training that it takes to get through there. Now, anyways, NXT. I am excited to see what goes on this winter tonight, because Johnny Gargano got attacked by Tommaso Ciampa. For the umpteenth time, we see this feud, but it never gets old. But they would have built up the Kevin Owens-Sami Zayn feud. It would have worked. They tried it out. You know, it's like, okay, here's your appetizer. Here comes the real main course. Sonya Deville, Mandy Rose, they worked their ass off. They got, you know, semi-recognition through Absolution, but what I'm focused on is look at Ruby Riott, look at Sarah Logan. Look at what the guys and gals are doing from NXT. They obviously have made headway through main roster. They are making so much success right now. Some of them might become future champions. I mean, look, Ember Moon might give Nia Jax a run for her money when they're done being partnered up, but since the involvement of NXT going to main roster and seeing where it goes, it's kind of like a mad science experiment. The women's division, I believe, is going to have, there have been talks about getting tag team championships made for both Raw and SmackDown Live. I think that would be amazing because you've got the Iconics. Maybe the Bella Twins may return. Asuka and Becky Lynch, or Becky Lynch and Charlotte. Maybe that'd be the formation of the Four Horsewomen. Because Bayley and Sasha may go to SmackDown Live. You never know what's going to happen, folks. Ever since NXT's involvement has gotten so popular, since, I believe, 2013, 2014 was when things really started turning around. There's a lovely book. You can get it on Amazon.com. We Are NXT. It shows you how many names have come through there, like Finn Balor. The evolution of Finn Balor is quite amazing. Fergal Devitt, you know, in Japan. The Balor Club, Gallows and Anderson. You even have Big E. You have Kofi Kingston. You've got Tyler Breeze, who some may debate this. Oh, yeah, they condensed him down into a gimmick. That's what fucking wrestling is. So if you don't really like what you see, then there's always the option to change the channel or not, you know, change it into something else. Or you can change it to something else, my bad. NXT, as a fan watching it, I didn't really start getting into it till about 2014. I would watch it, you know, because the network came out, I believe, in 2012, 2013. At first, I was very skeptical of it because it had a lot of lag to it, and then it got better. I was one of the ones that was impatient about it. One of the things that I checked out when I first started watching was NXT, and I saw guys like Kenta, guys like Sami Zayn pop up, and guys like Kevin Owens, which those two really should not have gone through NXT, in my opinion. They should have been, the way those two are, they're very patient. Guys like Daniel Bryan. I mean, names started popping up on NXT's roster, and we all know this. This is not just babbling because just to babble. This is the truth. NXT still outdoes main roster in some ways. Now, I tune in to main roster. I mainly watch SmackDown Live because of my work schedule, but it begs the question, what will happen, you know, when NXT keeps evolving itself? What happened when guys like Gargano and Ciampa end up on Raw or SmackDown Live? What will happen? Basically, this is making Survivor Series a lot more interesting than in prior years. It's making pay-per-views like Royal Rumble very interesting. Now that they have a women's Royal Rumble, the very first one was in Philadelphia, folks. Without NXT, Asuka would have never won the great, you know, the women's Royal Rumble, the very first. Without NXT, you wouldn't see matches like Ember Moon and Nia Jax versus, you know, whomever, Alexa Bliss and Mickie James. Now, I do realize Nia Jax was a part of NXT, and they said she needs work, she needs some more training, she needs this, that, she needs that. Okay, so we're cynics when it comes to watching pro wrestling. However, as big as a critic I can be, I'm going to tell you right now, the reason why I'm plugging NXT so much is because, yes, there are other people coming in through the independent scene that's been on talks, you know, a lot of, well, Sister Abigail, Mary Dobbs, Crazy Mary Dobbs is going back to NXT, or Jesse Havoc, you know. I don't touch the rumor mill that often, but I do pay attention when you say names like Jesse Havoc, and I don't think she's going back, guys. I don't know. I don't speak for her, and I don't speak for Crazy Mary Dobbs. I will say this, the Ruby Riott, if Gurley would get away from Riott Squad, she'd do just fine. Just like when Paige can, you know, completely blew it up in Sonya Deville's face, and Mandy Rose for that matter. It's because certain things just weren't fucking working, and it's obvious that NXT's influence, you know, Paige was also a part of NXT in the early days before her controversy, if you will, but I'm not going to touch on that. They're doing things different, if you haven't noticed. And as in doing things different, they're adding a kind of flavor to the ice cream. You know, like you have strawberry, vanilla, very fucking bland, and then you've got the sprinkles that get put in, and you've got the caramel topping, whatever topping floats your fancy. NXT basically is an ice cream sundae and then some. And certain people, they don't watch NXT because they say, oh, that indie bullshit. It's not indie bullshit. It's basically the big leagues for the indies. Who are you fucking kidding? I love watching wrestling, period. And NXT has given me a new sense of hope. Throughout the year 2018, even my best friend who, you know, I told him, start watching NXT. You will get a sense of who comes on the main roster if you watch it, because you won't be like, well, who's this guy? Who's that gal? Watch it. Watch it, watch it, watch it. Because if you have nothing better to do than sit and watch main roster, boy, you'll be missing the boat. I've said that a million times. You will be missing the fucking fracking boat. You'd be up shit creek without a paddle. The list of analogies and metaphors goes on and on. The evolution that is NXT, it just keeps growing, man. It just keeps adapting, and it's going to last for quite a while. I've never heard anyone say they've gotten tired of watching NXT. Now, when it comes to feuds, take your flavor, pick your flavor of feuds. Are you going to be like Tommaso Ciampa? Are you gonna be like Tommaso Ciampa and Gargano? That feud's fucking ugh. No. You're gonna say to yourself, well, I haven't seen this before, I'm gonna give it a chance. I've seen this feud many a times before as well. Some of my friends like Ciampa better, some of my friends like Gargano. It's okay. Alright, folks, before I get to off the rails, uncensored portion of the show, or either I go off about something or discuss my main feelings, we're going to take some time to discuss Wrestling Revolver and why it's a freaking amazing. Sir, those of you who have never been to a Revolver show, Wrestling Fandom 101, man, never ever judge before you go to an event. Just watch it, make your own assessment, and then enjoy it. Sammy's shows are amazing. They usually stem out of Iowa. They tour a lot, too, as well. They don't just stay directed towards Iowa. He has a lot of Revolver shows, though, however, in Iowa. The setup that he has for the stage is pretty badass. And it's not just the setup that Sammy has going for him. It's the fact that people love these shows. Every show is different. It's not the same. He had a death match the last time I was there. It was showcased by CZW. There's an art form to wrestling. It's like painting a Picasso or a Rembrandt. You got to start from the base first and then work your way up. the painting, that is. What does Wrestling Revolver do that's different than any other wrestling company? They give us different names. They give us different showcases. You're going to have a damn good time if you're watching it. Pay attention. Pay attention to what they present to you. Because at this show, you're going to see Jacob the Man, Manning South versus Tommy Dreamer. Big name. Pentagon Jr. Big name. Jesse Havoc. Amazing. In one word to describe her. Freaking amazing. Okay. Why is she amazing? She wrestles against guys. There's plenty of women that do that. They wrestle smaller guys sometimes, yeah. But does that lessen what she does as a competitor? No. Zachary Wentz, Zack Sabre Jr., Darby Allin, Ethan Page, Jeff Cobb, Matt Riddle now wrestles for Revolver, or has wrestled for Revolver. And let me tell you something, Matt Riddle is something special. Because every time to wrestle barefoot, that takes a lot of skill. Of course, some may argue with me and say, well, the Von Erichs fucking did it. You know, slow your rolls and calm your cigars, you know, and put down your pitchforks. But this guy, believe it or not, he's got a chance, got a good chance, going to WWE NXT pretty soon. And yes, I Rusev wrestled barefoot as well, but here's my thing. This guy is something special because him versus Jeff Cobb, him versus Ethan Page, him versus anyone. Before Zack Ryder made Bro a thing, you should know something. Matt Riddle made Bro cool. Not very overused or overdone. The hype bros kind of used Bro, stole a little bit of that. I call nobody out. I mean, it gets you. That word gets used quite a lot in pro wrestling, I guess. But what I'm telling you all is, go to a Wrestling Revolver show. A freaking amazing. Let me correct myself. You will not find a show quite like this, unless your preference is Ring of Honor, unless you have a House of Glory. I'm around a lot of wrestling. Trust me, where I live. The East Coast is quite prevalent. By the way, Monster Factory is coming May 6th, I believe. Go to monsterfactory.org for more information. Speaking, we're going to segue just a little bit so we take a break, folks, from my babbling. I've got a minute to do this. So monsterfactory.org, he is doing 2 down payments of $500. Danny Cage, for more information, visit the website, email Danny, text Danny, do whatever you have to do. Talk about opportunities, man, that knock on the door or knocking on your door right now. Go to monsterfactory.org, monsterfactory.org. I can hammer it into your head, but then you would probably, you know, knock me in the nutsack for doing so. But okay, monsterfactory.org. Talk to Danny Cage. His number is on the website. His number is on the car. It's badass. Trust me, I've been to there one day, one camp. I'm going to do it again in July because I'm fucking nuts. What can I say? I know some of you are being smart asses about that right now on the comment board. But, all right, folks, I finally have a countdown to deal with. For the first time in a long while, Off the Rails Uncensored will begin in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3. Lift off, bitches.
Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cost of something I would be. I know your anger, I know your dreams.
Alright, ladies and germs. Now, this section of the show, I discuss things that bother moi or actually make moi feel, or me, feel the need to rant about something. Now, this has been a couple weeks in the making, actually 3-4 weeks now in the making. Almost 3 weeks. So, was that Monster Factory? And I want to talk to you about that experience because I kind of condensed it down, if you will. I just want to say thank you to everybody that was there at the camp itself. Danny, you're probably like, what the fuck, man? Just come to the next camp and tell me how much you fucking frackin' loved it. I did. I realized how out of shape I am and how I need to fucking work on that. It'd be a day-by-day thing. Anyways, I know that, you know, there's a lot of advice that was pointed out at that camp, and I'm sure there's going to be more advice pointed out at the next one. So what I gather from being at Monster Factory is you meet a lot of different guys from around the area and outside the area. And somebody drove 30 hours from San Antonio to Paulsboro. So if that doesn't tell you anything, folks, about Monster Factory, I don't know what does. But there were there's a lot of cool stories. I met this kid named Ashton, pretty cool dude. It was just a lot of fun, and I've never had fun at a camp before in my life. And I know this is like 4 weeks that I should have talked to you all about this, but do this camp. Do the camp because you're going to regret it if you don't. If you go to Monster Factory, one of the things you'll learn about is how to plug yourself, how to promote, how to be a better person, a better guy, a better gal. So learn that, you know, this isn't just about you. And this is something powerful that Pritchard said that stuck with me. He was one of the guys at the camp, at Monster Factory camp, and he said, if you're doing this just for your own fame, you're missing the concept. You're missing the boat. You got to have a passion for this. You got to love it. This cannot just be a hobby. He kept saying this. If you're a hobbyist, don't do this. A lot of good advice was given, not just from Danny Cage, but there are a lot of questions at the panel. I'm going to ask this the next panel when I'm there. You know, what advice would you give a pro wrestling manager? Because it seems like JT Davidson hit the nail on the head. Most promoters, truthfully, does not want to pay a manager because it seems like they're kind of the forgotten art. Not just forgotten art, but they're the guy that goes to ride with his buddy and says, hey, I'm this guy's manager. You got to be something special. You got to stick out like a sore thumb in a good way, not a bad way. But I learned a lot. I learned a lot from those 2 days that I was there at Monster Factory. Les Thatcher was a pretty cool dude, pretty funny guy, pretty vast, well amount of knowledge that he had. Hurricane Helms, that's his nickname, Shane. I'm sorry if I'm condensing it down. I learned that with a promo, you got to clarify who you are. I'm going to learn more about that when I go next time for promos. Just a lot of things that stuck out to me in a good way, positive way. Twitch, again, that dude is amazing. I told him what happened the night before as I was looking like an idiot for my ID. And I just put it on the table and I was panicking and I didn't really get to eat dinner while I was there. But he was nice enough to give me some of his snacks. I didn't eat them all, but I had not eaten the night before. I did not have breakfast. And Lucas was kind enough to not only conversate with me, but he was really cool. And, you know, most of the kids, for that matter, from Monster Factory, well, yeah, they did have a good nature about them. See what I did? Lucas, though, sticks out to me because not only because he's the one that, and Stuart, the ring announcer, like you two, dude, pretty cool. Just nothing really bad that I can say about Monster Factory. I don't want to be strung up by my foot, you know, hanging from a tree. I know how that fucking shit works. You don't bite the hand that feeds you. And Danny was kind enough to allow me to attend his camp to learn, sit at the learning tree and constantly keep learning. And that's why I want to say this from the bottom of my heart, dude. This sounds fucking mushy as fuck, but thank you. Thank you for what you did. Thank you for what I learned those 2 days. Again, I probably concerned you with the way that I started out stretches, but I want to say this nicely. If you want to learn wrestling, go to Monster Factory. You want to learn what the business is about, go to Monster Factory. I'm preaching to the fucking choir because, if my finances were in order or if I was this or that, no, don't make the excuse. Go to Danny's school, learn. Do whatever you can because look at how many connections that man has. Ring of Honor. Pretty sure practically every wrestling company you can think of, name off, Danny will say, oh, yeah, I know this guy. I know a guy. I know this person. He's very good. You have to put in the work is what I got out of the Monster Factory camp. And not only that, I learned, I've basically ranted or raved about a company that did that self, and he said, you're going to bury yourself in this business really quick if you start talking about who did you wrong. There's a lot of eye-opening moments for me that I just sat there and was like, holy shit. All those times I could have been, at Monster Factory at the camps and learning more knowledge about the business, dropping more extensive knowledge about what I should be doing instead of what I am not doing. Was there anything negative that I picked up from the camp? No, just kind of question marks, though. Like when we were going over the panel and somebody was describing Brock Lesnar, that's the only thing I'm going to just say. I had some question marks in my mind about it, about the way he was described to me compared to Bruiser Brody. I'm going to leave it at, I don't think so. I disagree. I am a fan myself, one of many marks who sit around moping about on a fucking podcast saying, I disagree with you because, here's why. To compare someone to Bruiser Brody is kind of hearsay, this is why, and this is the reason why he is like, or similar to. That's an insult to Bruiser Brody in a lot of ways. The man actually showed up, had attendance, made money, and then, of course he got stabbed in the fucking crapper, but here's the thing. Other than that moment on the panel, which I just, my brain still is hurting over that comparison, but okay. I still watch wrestling. I still attend the events. I'm a fucking mark, yes, but we're all marks for somebody. We were all marks before we started this business. That's another thing that I wanted to touch upon. If you don't think that you are a fan and you think that you're good in the business, that gives you the right to talk down to fans. No, is all I'm going to tell you. If you sit there thinking that you are above the marks, you're right. In some ways, but in other ways, not so much. All you owe us, all the wrestlers owe fans, is a good show. That's it. I keep saying this, and people misinterpret what I say. Also, one other area that I'm going to touch upon. If you read spoilers, keep them to yourself. I don't know how many times I've had to stress this to multitudes of people, multiple amounts of people, is do not fucking sit there and spoil a wrestling show. That is why at WrestleMania things got changed up. That is why Monday Night Raw has been somewhat better. It's because you don't know what's going to happen at the show. You don't know which direction creative is going with this. And by creative, I know them. I not know them, but I know the names. I don't know them personally. I just know that they're trying to put on a show for fans and see if they're going to talk or buzz about it. It's none of my business to go in the back and or go on tangent or on a rant and say, well, this and this needs to change, and it gets old. Oh, it gets old real quick if I start ranting about, well, I don't agree with what you do. And most of the time on Raw, I don't. SmackDown Live, it seems like they were, you know, saying, well, you know, the women couldn't participate, so here's the main event on SmackDown Live in Montreal. I don't care. Honestly, guys, a person who got a taste of the business in 2014, and I still want a taste of it because it's addictive. It's like tasting that really good fucking burrito at Chipotle. Just keep wanting more and more and more and more and more and more and more. I have a thirst for knowledge now. Thank you, Monster Factory. I didn't get that when I first started. Some people don't. I mean, it's different. It's different for people when you go into the world of professional wrestling. When you first start, you're thinking, oh, cool, I'm going to be the next big star. Monster Factory kind of brought me down a peg as far as it goes. You know, it's like, you did. I was told I had really good delivery, but need work in a lot of areas instead of jacking something from Paul Heyman. That's kind of my big inspiration, though. I'm not going to not listen. I'm just going to try and cherry pick and do what works best for me. But also keep in mind, if I were a part of a show, I would want to monitor how my behavior is, how I come off to the promoter. And I got very good vibes, very good learning vibes from Danny Cage and the people around. And I want to, again, I want to say thank you. Because if it wasn't for that camp, or if it wasn't for certain seminars and stuff that I picked up in the past, like Sammy Callahan's, even though I didn't do anything at Sammy's, I kept watching, took pictures. My good friend Kurt Gannon in North Carolina that year, I keep asking about managers, and I asked about my performance in front of Delirious. He said, well, I didn't even know you were there. It's like you were non-existent. I just, also a Brutal Bob seminar, you know, you cherry pick. Brutal's was probably one of my favorites. I love Uncle Bob. And no matter what people say, I'm learning. It feels so good. It feels fucking great to know that I came out of Monster Factory 4 weeks later wanting to come back in July, which is coming up soon, because in 2 months I have time to save my money. Yeah, I have time to book a flight. I have time to bring someone that I had. Well, Danny's going to laugh, or he's going to say, I don't give a fuck. I went and through the trouble of promoting my good friend Kurt Gannon to the entire Monster Factory, which shouldn't come as a surprise to some of the people. They're like, well, some people cling to some people, and Brian normally cling to Kurt or Rocco. And I'm sorry, but what did Cornette do? He clung to Vader and Owen and British Bulldog and Yokozuna. Look at his career, man. Cornette's a fucking genius. Although some of you may criticize his criticisms, he's being himself. He's being honest. Can you fault the man for being honest? No. In some instances, some people say, oh, I don't really like this kid because he didn't get in the fucking ring, you know, the last time I saw him, and I didn't get to see his work. Look, some people are old school, and that's just their nature. And I appreciate that, because here's my thing, man. When you have guys like Les Thatcher and guys like Pritchard and guys like Rudy Gonzalez, who have trained the likes of Brian Kendrick and Brian Danielson, coming to Monster Factory, let me just tell you one thing. There are some people that are going to suck. Literally. But does Danny and them sit there and say, hey, you suck? No. They worked very diligently to be like, instead of doing this on a shoulder tackle, make sure that you run through the guy like a football offensive tackle, you know, he managed to tell guys what they were doing wrong so that if they're in the ring with someone else, they will not harm said individual. I like that about Monster Factory. They didn't rip into you unless you were being a disrespectful cunt. And I didn't see any argument, anything at all. Any kind of, any form of disrespect, no. I saw a beautiful display of a trainer and an owner and a coach teaching the guys at Monster Factory, this is what an opportunity looks like. Take advantage. Sure, there were standouts at the camp in my eyes, man. But like I said, I know it's 4 weeks late, but holy fuck. I think he didn't Danny did not recognize me, and that's not the main focus. I got to Philly thinking, okay, you know, who's going to pick me up? I got this drowning feeling. What the fuck have I gotten myself into? How am I going to get there? Maybe I should take an Uber right there. But I believe in the fine art of learning professional wrestling, I believe in that learning is and forever will be a mainframe in professional wrestling. And Monster Factory is part of that mainframe. One of the many schools you can go to. I mean, Rudy teaches in Texas. Rudy Reyes from Lucha Underground was also there as well, folks. And the amount of knowledge that they dropped as, you know, part of their panel. And they had, you know, they were very efficient about answering questions quickly in a timely manner. Was it part of the requirement? No. They didn't have to answer questions. They could have just easily said, I'm going back to my hotel. And all I got to say is I'm so grateful, folks, that I got a new job. It's been easier for me to discuss this shit with you all on an open basis. Sure, I mean, my shows are 45 minutes to an hour, and it's only 2 hours if I have a guest. But you know what? Fuck it, I'm having a damn good time. And that's all I'm going to relay for you now, folks. If you don't believe in what I'm telling you and what I told you today about pro wrestling, then I got three choice words for you. Forget about it. By the way, toodles, bitches, I gotta eat before work. Enjoy. Have a nice day, night, whatever. Go Yanks. Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cost was something I would be. Like Mussolini and Kennedy, I'm the cult of person.